This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please be seated. And as you are now seated, I invite you to take out the Red Book of Common Prayer. That's in the pews. I know some of you might not be familiar with it, but it is the official prayer book of our church, and I'm going to ask you to open up to page 337 in the prayer book, page 337. And on the bottom of page 337, there is a prayer there that I would like us to say together, the bottom of 337. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. A beautiful prayer that comes to us in our Rite One Eucharist. I think it's one of the most beautiful prayers that is in that Rite One. It was written by Thomas Cranmer, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he gets credit for being the main author of that first book of Common Prayer in the Anglican Church after the split from Rome. And I like us to read or hear that prayer when we get this particular gospel story every 3 years, because it's a direct reference to the story that we just heard with Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman, that we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But the point that we need to concentrate upon is that next line, that God's property is always to have mercy, that God can do nothing else but be merciful. People over the years have got hung up with this prayer because of that line about we're not worthy, we're not worthy. And for people who have a history of being told you're no darn good for a long time, it could be misinterpreted. But the important thing is here that we're emphasizing God's incredible mercy. And when we think about this incredible mercy that is so far beyond us and our own limited human possibilities, there is that poetic way of looking and understanding that unless God does something, there's no way I can get to God, that God chooses to come to me. And that's the beauty of that particular prayer. The theme for this gospel sermon today is, it's okay to change your mind. Sometimes it's necessary. It is something that we learn. It's something that Thomas Cranmer learned. Cranmer was the Archbishop of Canterbury at that crazy time that, depending on what the religion of the king was, that if the king was Catholic, if you didn't say that you had allegiance to the Pope, off with your head. And if the king or the queen was Protestant, if you said you swore allegiance to the Pope, it was off with your head. And these difficult times ensued. And Cranmer, trying to save his own skin, got to a point where he wrote that he denied all of this stuff about Protestantism. And when he was burned at the stake, he changed his mind. He realized that he was wrong. And when the story goes, it's in the UK where you can go to that site. As he's getting burned at the stake, he says, "Put my hand into the fire first, the hand that wrote that awful retraction of what everything I believed to be true." He changed his mind. We look at this first reading today that we have, this beautiful story of the reconciliation with Joseph. The other week, they wanted to kill him. They threw him into a dry cistern. They sold him off into slavery. And a lot has happened. And so even when it comes to this point, he has gone through, Joseph has, in his life, these series of transitions, but at every point in the story, he has chosen to do the right thing. So if you remember the story where Potiphar, the emperor, his wife starts to make a play for Joseph, he doesn't go along with it. And so Potiphar's wife wants to get him in trouble, accusing him of doing wrong things. But Joseph remains faithful, loyal, true, sincere, all of those things. And so he finally comes to this point where he's sort of going to play a trick on his brothers after all they've done. And yet, I think he thinks of that his property is always to have mercy. And so I'm called to do the same. And so there's that beautiful embrace at the end. And there is this reconciliation that takes place. Joseph changed his mind. The second reading that we just heard. Talk about changing your mind. Paul's whole life is just about that. The one who crucified so many in literal fashion of leading to the death of many Christians, he changed his mind. But even when he becomes a Christ follower, he has to change his mind about who's welcome in the kingdom. It's not just the Jews. It's not just a certain variety of people. It is everyone. And so as he's talking in Romans today, that starts to come out of his understanding that God's mercy is for all people. And so as a result, he changes his mind. Then we come to this gospel story. It's a hard one. You know, I look, as we do from the altar up here every Sunday, and we see that beautiful stained glass window of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and Jesus learning from Joseph how to be a carpenter up there at the lathe. We don't think that often about the fact that Jesus had to learn as a fully human person. He had to learn how to be a carpenter. I know there's a lot of jokes about that, but it was a fact. And Joseph goes to the synagogue at the age of 12. We know that story. He has to learn, and we are told at the end of that story, he increased in wisdom. Well, what makes us think that that growing in wisdom stopped with that particular synagogue story at the age of 12? Jesus continued to learn and to understand about God's property is always to have mercy. And it comes out in this story today with the Canaanite woman. Matthew tells us that Jesus goes to Tyre and Sidon. This was an out-of-the-way place. You wouldn't do that unless there was some intentionality about it. So there is part of this story that perhaps Jesus knew what he was getting into. But when he gets into this conversation with the woman, there is this bit that Jesus has to learn a bit, as I think he does from her, her persistence. She doesn't give up. And so Jesus uses a phrase of the day that the Jews would have talked about, the Canaanites. But there's something here that transforms in Jesus' self, that he is able to then say to her, "Great is your faith." Which Jesus only does three times in the Gospels, tells somebody, "Great is your faith." And every time, it's an outsider. Remember the Roman centurion? "Great is your faith," and he heals the son. Here he does it again with another outsider. So, it's okay to change your mind. I have changed my mind so many times along my life. I'm sure you have too, because we grow. And we grow in our understanding, and it becomes very important for us. I tell the story very often. I'm sure if you've been around here a while, you've heard it, that I flunked a religion in first grade. Sister Julian. She was the most boring teacher I ever had. I slept through her religion class and got called on the carpet for it one day. And she had me stand up in front of the whole class, said all sorts of nasty things about me, and then announced to the class that I was getting a failing grade in religion. And all of my little first grade classmates, it took a long time for me to let go of that. But now as I look back on it, you know, maybe the mother superior had just done something mean to her and she was just having a bad day that day. I don't know. But I know in retrospect, I knew the material. It's not on my resume, of course, but we have to let go of things. Sometimes people just have a bad day. And we can hang on to stuff. And it does call for us to listen to that first half of the gospel also. I think it's important that those two gospels are put together for us today. Because the Canaanite woman isn't unacceptable just because of where she's from or the color of her skin or the fact that she's a woman. You got to let go of that. But what really makes a difference that determines our worthiness is what's coming out of our mouths. That's what defiles, as Jesus said. So if you want a litmus test today, what's coming out of our mouths? What are we saying and choosing to say about others? How are we choosing to twist stories around a bit, to just fudge the truth a little bit, just to make our point? It's Jesus' call, in terms of this, his property is always to have mercy, to give the benefit of the doubt a little bit more. And perhaps that's the call that we have been given. Today in the church, because it's a Sunday, we don't observe it, but it's the feast day of Bernard of Clairvaux, a great monk who founded one of the branches of the Cistercians, and the Trappists came from that. And what's interesting about his own life is he had to change his mind. He had started this monastery, and he wanted it to be more strict than the Benedictines were doing it. And he found out after a while, nobody wanted to follow him anymore, and he realized, I'm being too strict. And he changed his mind. And after he does that, his monastery flourishes, continues to grow. He comes to an understanding of God's will as he moves on with his life. He gets credit for writing a particular prayer that I would like to share with you today. And it really fits in this whole theme we're talking about today. I will love you, O Lord, my strength, my stony rock and my defense, my Savior, my one desire and love. My God, my helper, I will love you with all the power you have given me. Not as much as you deserve to be loved, for that can never be, but as much as I am able to, I will. Whatever I do, I never can discharge my debt to you, and I can love you only according to the power that you have given me. The more power to love you give me, the more I will love you. Yet never, never can I love you as much as you should be loved. In other words, we are not worthy to gather up the crumbs, but God's property is always to have mercy. May we receive it. May we share it. Amen.